now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. Our guest is my friend and colleague, our senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy, the author of two terrific books, Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack, and the original Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again. He is Kevin Freeman, the founder of GlobalEconomicWarfare.com and an absolutely superb institution, the National Security Investment Consultants Institute, NSIC, doing great work training people in the market about the importance of national security. Kevin Freeman, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. Great to have you with us, sir.
Thank you, Frank. Always good to be here.
You have been engaged for some time, Kevin, on something that it seems to me is just immensely important and yet very little understood, or certainly it seems very few of us are aware of what's afoot. Talk to me, if you would, about the imminent surrender of American leadership and effectively control of the internet, what it means for the internet and for all of us.
Well, it seems that the Obama administration, in one of the last acts before the election, almost hidden from the American people, is intent, going against the wishes of Congress and every internet conservative leader I can know of, in giving away the internet, giving away control of the domain name registration function, which effectively governs how the internet operates.
And this is something that is, as I recall, actually prohibited by law as well. And yet, as you say, the administration is moving inexorably forward with it. What would the implications be as a practical matter if, instead of us exercising this kind of benign control that has caused the internet to flourish, you have so-called stakeholders like, oh, I don't know, Russia, China, Iran, the Saudis, or others exercising such control?
Well, ICANN is what we're giving away control of. We have a contract with a group which is the Internet Domain Name Naming Organization. It's called the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers. And if we no longer control that, that's a monopoly where they could determine which websites actually got domain names and which did not, which websites got traffic. They could cut off the ability of someone who wanted to go to a website that they found objectionable. So this could not only go to a group of bad acting countries that you listed, but it also could come under the influence of bad acting investors who could financially influence it, like George Soros. So this is literally the possibility that you type in what you want to find on the internet and you can't go there because ICANN is now under some nefarious control outside the United States. The monopoly then turns against the internet viewer.
You know, another way to think about this, Kevin, that got my attention the other day, and I think Senator Ted Cruz has been warning about this for some time as he leads the fight against this giveaway of the domain name registry, is that you could have the naming authority making mischief just by giving to, Russian intelligence a domain that ends with a .gov or .mil. Two handles that have been reserved to this point for, of course, government agencies and military ones. Again, just walk us through what the implications of this might be.
A few years ago, WhiteHouse.com was owned by a porn site, and you'd have young people that were looking up information from the White House, and they would be taken to pornography. Imagine what if you had hackers that were using malicious names that seemed innocuous that you went to and you had your computer infiltrated. This is a perfect cyber war tool that could bring down our economy.
Kevin, speaking of our economy, you have been mulling lately the implications of the interest rates that have been set to date and might yet be set by the Federal Reserve. As we speak, there's impending a meeting of the board at which some further developments may be announced. We don't know what those will be at the moment, but to talk about ZERP and NERP and their implications for our wealth and economic well-being.
ZERP refers to a zero interest rate policy. It's a policy that was adopted by the Federal Reserve in response to the 2008 collapse. And basically what it meant was that the Federal Reserve was going to buy every Treasury bond until they drove interest rates down to near zero, which hurts savers, people who save money. It hurts the average person, but it helps the very wealthy, and it helps the government, which is the largest borrower on the planet. Our government borrows about $20 trillion at present. So zero interest rates help the people who borrow, and they punish the people who save and lend. There's something even more nefarious called NERP, negative interest rate policies, where actually interest rates are negative, meaning the borrower gets paid, the lender pays interest to the person who borrows. And right now, about $15 trillion out of the 40-some trillion dollars worth of sovereign debt around the world is currently priced at negative interest rates, Japan, Europe, and so forth.
With negative implications, of course, for economic growth.
Absolutely. It's like dividing by zero. You can't do that mathematically, and negative interest rates will destroy insurance companies, for example. They have to have a stable interest rate, a stable guaranteed return to meet their interest rate policies. But it also means that if you're planning for your family's future and you're wanting to buy insurance, you thought, well, I'll buy a $1 million policy, which could, at 5% interest rates, pay out $50,000 a year without touching principal. If you have negative interest rates, you have to have a substantially larger amount of insurance. It throws everything upside down, and it's being used to fund the beast of big governments around the world.
Let me turn to one other issue, Kevin, that is much in focus in your other great book, Game Plan, and the coming cyber economic attack, namely the threat of electromagnetic pulse. And I think you're among those, including our colleagues, Dr. Peter Vincent Pry and former CIA Director Jim Woolsey, who've been warning about North Korea's nuclear weapons ambition. There's a report that a new, more powerful rocket for a so-called space launch vehicle has been tested successfully in North Korea. We don't know all the facts there, but inevitably there will be more and more capability on the part of that government to put objects into space. Are you concerned that among those objects might be a nuclear weapon, usable at least, if not actually used, to engage in an electromagnetic pulse attack against this country, and what might the implications of that be?
Well, it's the ultimate blackmail tool for the North Koreans. If they had a satellite that had the capability to push a button and it wiped out our power grid, it could end with the extinguishing of 90% of the population in America. It'd destroy our economy. It's a nation-ending event. Be a serious problem if North Korea had a missile that they were able to shoot that would go over the United States. We might not be able to stop it or shoot it down. And the problem with North Korea and their partner, Iran, and some believe that the Iranian nuclear development program is actually taking place in North Korea because of the close partnership that they've developed. The problem is that they're not good partners of mutual assured destruction. That's what kept us safe from the Soviet Union, because presumably the Russians didn't want us bombing Moscow any more than we wanted them bombing New York. But North Korea doesn't have that much to lose, and the Iranians might actually want an economic apocalypse. And so they become rogue states, become the biggest threat, because they have the capability, and yet they're not so worried about the retaliation. So, yes, I'm very concerned about it.
And to the extent that this concern should be translating into a different policy approach towards the North Koreans, with whom we've kind of looked with benign neglect, I'd say, under the Obama administration, this ratcheting up of a nuclear weapons capability, particularly with this kind of potentially truly apocalyptic effect, if an electromagnetic pulse is unleashed on the United States, really argues for this to be at the forefront of our election debates coming up and of the choice that we will be making about protecting our country against such threats. Kevin Freeman, as always, your leadership in these areas is tremendously appreciated. As a senior fellow of the Center for Security Policy at the founder and driving force of NSIC Institute. And you can follow Kevin's terrific writings and great work at globaleconomicwarfare.com and check out his books, Game Plan and Secret Weapon. Kevin, come back to us again soon, if you would, my friend. Next up, Peter Husey joins us. We'll talk a bit more about these nuclear threats and whether we are unilaterally disarming in this space. Straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.